Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. It's Dave. How are you?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Let me see if Rick is... give me one second. See it up. It looks like he just logged on, so in 1 second here, I think he will be here. Hold on. Rick's going to dial in a second.
Okay.
Let's see. I think we Rick you on.
I'm on.
There we go.
Hey.
Hey, Rob. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
You see, the good part is Dave jumps right in now. With, I just walked in. You guys there?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep.
We're both okay. Good. Anyway, I don't know if Emily's
all right.
Hold on. Let me just see if Emily's.
Okay.
Is that my room? Oh, okay. All right, she's not in yet. She may jump on, too. Anyway.
So let me give you a quick...
What's that? Well, let me give you a quick... I'll give you a quick one, and then I'd like to pick your brain about LinkedIn for a second. One of the things that, you know, because obviously tennis is my thing, and... I have a place in the Delaware Beach, and it's called Sea Colony, and it's a beach tennis resort. And it's, you know, really a beautiful place. And so one of the things we do is we have a women's challenger series pro event that we started a few years ago, and I became, you know, one of the lead sponsors, me and one other. So I get to present the trophies, I get to, you know, whatever. And I get UBS signs all over the place. Anyway, but so it's really, again, like a minor, it's still minor league tennis. It's like, I compare it to double-A baseball. These are girls that are on the tour, still ranked in the, you know, a few hundreds in the world, but they're on their way up. Well, the girl who won it this past year, at Sea Colony, I showed Dave on the weekend, she's playing at Indian Wells now. She knocked off Madison Keys the other day. I think she's into the, round of 16 now. So it's amazing that, you know, the caliber that we're getting, and that is really, and she's doing things. So. Anyway, I thought you'd appreciate that. But the question is, I sponsor it. I have UBS signs, Rick Ryan, all this stuff. But I don't follow through with it. I mean, as far as, you know, asking people, you know, sitting down, and that's where I think Dave this year, we're going to try and do something where we're going to do a cocktail hour and, you know, like a meet and greet with people.
Why don't you bring your... technology guys
here. They are, well, the two of them already said they want to come.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, you talked about, you know, the home and away thing.
Yeah.
This would be a great entertaining thing. At the same time, you could play a match. You know?
Yeah. Well, both Sam and this other guy, Clark, already on Saturday, because when we were texting and stuff, you know, they said yes, they'd like to make a trip to come down. Now, we could definitely get two of them, but I'd like to get more. So here's our question, though. We just got, we're also have the ability to do it at the Philly Cricket Club.
Yeah, nice.
So that would be on grass. And
nice.
So I'm trying to determine what to put my efforts to.
Well, why don't you ask them?
That's a good point. That's a good point. And let them determine that. Because we would like to get this going, though, this like a reciprocal Boston-Philly tennis and networking.
Yeah, the Delaware Shore would be a quite a ways from the cricket.
Exactly.
You couldn't do them together. But,
no.
And while the tournament's going on, that's going to occupy all those courts and everything, right?
Well, typically. I mean, but by the time the weekends come, it's only the the final weekend. I mean, it starts on Monday, so you get all the courts are being taken up during the week. But by the weekend, there's a lot of open courts because they're down to the semis and the finals. And that's where we have, you know, it's just a nice little event. But I was thinking of doing something to play, but also have like a cocktail hour Saturday night after the women's semifinals. And,
I know this sounds crazy, but think about this for a minute. What? I mean, think about bringing down, four couples.
Right.
Okay? And they watch, in the morning, you play a match. In the afternoon, you watch tennis.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, when we went to Augusta, we stayed, nearby. We played local golf course, and then we'd go to Augusta and watch in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. So this could be that same kind of thing. In tennis, doesn't take much time.
Right.
So you can do in 2 hours max, hour and a half, you can get all the tennis you want. So you could get up, you know, reasonable, play tennis at 9 till 10:30, you know, go over, have some lunch, and then watch matches in the afternoon. That sounds like a fabulous, fabulous afternoon, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
Fabulous day. So you've got to figure out accommodations and things like that. But,
exactly.
But and then I would think about having 8 guys come down and play at the second club.
Yeah. I think you're right, though, because logistically it's easier to get from Boston to Philly, because even if they got to Philly, the Delaware Shore is another 2 hours, and there's really no, you can't fly into it or anything else like that.
Right, right. So whoever you invite, I like the idea of the tennis and watching tennis.
Right.
You know, people will do it. You know, if they're excited about it, they'll come.
Well, but especially maybe, now, though, that we can promote this, this girl who won it last year now is, you know, she's going to crack the top 100 now.
And look, the truth is that most people that love tennis just want to watch good tennis.
Exactly. They'll watch
college tennis, you know? I mean, they don't care.
Well, that's the thing. So you're right up close, obviously, you know, because we're at a, you know, courtside watching girls. But all of them, as you can imagine, this tennis is such high quality. The girls that are there are either college All-Americans, Europeans, that are just coming up, but the quality is just—it's sick. And these girls, half of them, most of them won't even make it.
Right. Keep in mind to promote their colleges too. Okay. So, for example, I'm giving 2 women scholarships to Wake Forest, right? Wake Forest. Men's tennis is ranked number 1 in the country this year. They won the indoor championship, right?
Wow.
And so I'd be very interested in watching a Wake Forest gal that has come up. You can make that other connection, because people have very strong alumni affiliations.
This girl that won the NCAA twice at Virginia.
Okay, so there's in Virginia is, you know, not that far. I mean,
that's a destination for for the Virginia people that come to the Delaware beaches.
Right. Right.
Ah, okay. And I do think, yeah, I think you're right. Now, by just talking about that, I think we could do the Philly cricket as one with the Boston guys, and then so I should just hand select some people to come that are really tennis enthusiasts to come down and see Colony.
Yeah, I think that would be a wonderful weekend. You know, find a nice, you don't have to pay for their hotel or anything. You just find a nice place for them to stay. Make sure,
right,
you know, they have nice accommodations. Get them well in advance so they, you know. And people, I mean, think how much fun that would be, right?
Oh, yeah. It definitely would.
You know, you play a little round robin match, you know.
Yep. No, I agree.
I think that'd be a blast.
So here's my question, though, and I think this is from the last call we did, and, if you remember, the one venture capital guy contacted our buddy Sam through LinkedIn, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And that's the area that I know you're a big proponent of that, and, like, I'm just scratching the surface. I have a LinkedIn, so I don't actively use it. I'm not on that LinkedIn every day looking at these things, because sometimes, to be honest, Rob, it sort of sucks you in. You know, you could spend a lot of time just looking through posts and BS,
yes.
But how are you finding it?
Well, I mean, one of the things you could do would be, for example, you could, I'm just trying to think now. How do I use it?
Yeah.
I use it to market myself and brand myself. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I post interesting articles, and I always put a picture with every post, and I'll get 5,000 people reading it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you really can get a big audience.
Now, do you actually go out and then, I mean, to try to get people to look, I mean, to connect with people on that?
Yeah, I mean, like for Dave, I mean, one of the things you can do is, like, I have one guy that connects with 250 people every day.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. Think about that, right?
He reaches out to try to connect. He to accept him as a friend or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, and then he's constantly he's looking through network and then to get meetings. So his intent, it's basically cold calling on the internet.
Wow.
And so he's looking to get five appointments a week from LinkedIn.
Wow.
All right. So he gets, what he does is he connects, it's a process. He has it all on a spreadsheet. So he connects, he then communicates, he then affiliates with them in terms of getting something where they both have something in common, they exchange, and then he goes for a meeting.
Wow.
Now, what he does is, you know, I had him read the book, which you should read too, which is called Give and Take.
Right. We read it.
And the number one guy on LinkedIn is one of these. He's a giver, right? He's a helper. He's also a billionaire. He's also a private equity guy.
Right.
So he helps in Silicon Valley, helps people out. So he's constantly on LinkedIn helping people. And so that's what this guy's whole focus is. Finding people, that's what he markets himself as. I'm the guy that you want to know if you want to be in technology. And I can connect you with people that are, that can help you. So
right.
whatever you're looking for. You know, you're looking for a job, you're looking for, you're looking to raise capital, you're looking to sell your company, you're looking to do whatever, I'm the guy. I'll find the person that you need. So he doesn't intentionally go out to gain business. He goes out to help people. And then he tries to meet with them and find out about their business and their needs. And then he tries to help them some more. And meanwhile, they ask him about his business and so forth.
Right.
Okay. So this is, you know, he happens to be right here in your neck of the woods in Boston, too.
Wow.
He's in technology. So he's after the same people you are. But you're doing a better job than he is, actually.
Without using that stuff. Well,
it's personal relationships. Yeah, it's all personal relationships, you know.
Right.
But
the other thing is, we just updated our website, too, and I put, you know, Dave on it with Margaret and I. We have a picture, and the one thing is, I mean, you know, we present well, Rob. I'm not saying that in egoish way, but if you look at it, I mean, you know, we come across well, we present well, just looking, you know, from a visual standpoint, and I think that's a selling point.
Oh, it is. Are you kidding? What do you think? I mean, that's what people do. Look, the reality is people will find you and they will, you know, they'll look, as soon as they meet you, they'll look you up. They'll Google you.
Right.
And then, so you need to be constantly looking at what they're seeing. You know, if I Google, you know, Rick Rogers, what am I going to find?
Right.
And how does it look? And, you know, what does LinkedIn look like? Because they look at those two things.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, it's not your whole brand, but it is a part of your brand.
Well, that's what we're tightening up on right now. Updating the LinkedIn and updating our website with the team stuff to get that going.
And this is where you can get some recognition in the local newspapers for the work you're doing for the tennis and all that. It's good. Get somebody in the local newspaper, sports person, and make friends with them. And help them, and they'll print articles about your tournament. And, you know, do that in Delaware. Do that in Philadelphia. Do it anywhere.
Yeah.
And then all those articles show up here.
Yeah,
when you Google Rick Rogers UBS, the first three things that pop up are his, you know, his personal UBS advisor page, the team advisor page, LinkedIn profile, and then a bunch of great articles that are local to Bucks County. You know, the Council Rock Education Foundation to honor a trio at community, so that's Rick involved in that. And then there's the Newtown Rotary named Rick Rogers Rotarian of the Year. Bill Marsh Ford honored as Newtown Business of the Year. So it's everything very community focused over the next 5 to 10 hits on Rick's name. So it's first, you know, Rick and his business and his team and his LinkedIn, and then stuff he's doing in the community, which I think is kind of ideal to what you want to see when you Google someone's name.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. So if you didn't have that stuff, I would tell you to get it, right? Get involved in the community. But you've built all of that. See? So you built that, which is genius, right?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's genius. It's just sort of, you know, it wasn't like the intent, but it happened that way. Because it was something that was a natural...
stuff you like to do. Yeah, you're a giver.
Right.
You know, you're not a taker, you're a giver, so.
Well, here's the other, like, so here's the thing. So obviously, not only Dave and I think, because this is the feedback we're getting, that not only, I mean, it's just if you look at a picture we present, but I think in our presentations we're doing well, because I think there's a very positive energy that we create, and it's noticeable. So how do we expand on that to get, you know, get that out more?
Well, you can, I mean, you can write interesting, I mean, you know, if you want to take the time to demonstrate your professional expertise, that's not a bad thing. And either find great articles or write great articles and then put them on LinkedIn. And that will establish that you're, quote, a thought leader. Okay?
And it's better to do that, Rob, than, like, you know, and I guess, you know, a lot of the UBS, you know, weekly or monthly or, you know, what have you, all the different, you know, reports and research we come out with as a firm, to be, you know, sending that. I mean, we do have that, obviously, for most of our clients are on, you know, multiple different distribution lists. But do you see it, or just a thought of mine was, you know, do you see any advisors, or is it a good idea to have any kind of, you know, weekly or monthly type of more personalized, not like, you know, UBS, you know, capital markets and things like that, which are very, you know, generic. Is there anything out there that people are doing, you know, kind of like a weekly newsletter, you know, at the end of the week to summarize, you know, very high level, whether it's market related or to send out a kind of a weekly interest piece, an article that we read, you know, a topic that we've been talking about with other clients, say, hey, this is a great read. Like, for example, the other day, I sent Rick an article in the New York Times about the continuing care retirement communities and, you know, how to pick the right one. And it was an interesting read, whether or not you're involved or your parents or grandparents, you know, just to say, hey, this is what's going on out there in that long-term care healthcare space. You know, it's an interesting read, you know, to send out more of like a, you know, not necessarily stock market related and investing related, but, you know, kind of an interesting piece with like a very, you know, brief highlight of whether that's a weekly thing, a monthly thing. Is that something anyone's done? Is it effective, or forget about it?
Oh, no, I think, look, the reality is if you can get somebody to hit on it and listen and read it, they're going to think of you as a thought leader. Therefore, you get more credibility. It's like writing a book. What does writing a book do for you? Well, in some cases, nothing. In some cases, a lot. I mean, you know, in writing my book, it wasn't just a placeholder. It wasn't just a business card. It actually had a message, right? Had a very strong message and has lasted for, you know, years now, 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, thousands of copies all over the world. And so that's had a very positive, so you might think about that. You know, what would be something that would be interesting that you could write that that would establish you as a thought leader in the industry? There's a book that one of my buddies just wrote. His name is Joy Berkowitz. And he wrote wrote a book, I think it's called The Death. Yeah, it is. It's The Death of the Dinosaur. And you might read it just for the sake of saying, what if I wrote this instead of him? Would that have established me as an authority on Wall Street?
I think it makes sense, and I just, you know, I agree with you, and I also it's, you know, whether or not it's best done via, you know, sending stuff, you know, via email to like your specific client or distribution list, and obviously having prospects on that and telling your clients, you know, if you think, you know, if there are other people you'd like to kind of share our weekly or monthly, whatever it is, you know, our thoughts in any articles that we like, you know, for like weekend type reading, to say, you know, please forward this or send us any emails of any, you know, friends or colleagues that you think would find, you know, a weekly article, you know, interesting to read, versus, you know, blasting out on like a LinkedIn where you're just posting an article saying, hey, here's a great, you know, article on financial planning or on long-term care or on, you know, portfolio investing.
Okay. All right, so let's just prioritize, okay? Because time is an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the number one thing you can do is do an amazing job for your clients.
Right.
All right, so here's a great story, okay? I had a gal who was basically failing in the business. And but she was a private wealth advisor with a great pedigree, but she was having the biggest problem that most FAs have, which was lack of activity with a million excuses. Okay? Right? And usually when you look behind the lack of activity, there's fear.
Yep.
And so she had lots of fears about activity, right? So she had all kinds of excuses of why she couldn't get no sales assistant. The team that she was supposed to be affiliated with was terrible and da-da-da-da-da. Well, I started to coach her, and all those problems went away. Do you know why her problems went away?
She did the activity.
Right. Exactly. She reframed her fear, reframed it, and gave her a reason to overcome her fear. Everybody has fear. The question is, how do you overcome that fear? What kind of a story do you plant in your head that's in your best interest versus the story that you're already playing? And really what you want to do is take the disc out that's not in your best interest that you're playing and put in a disc that is in your best interest. Okay? Because we're all playing a story all the time in our head. So the question is it one that's going to help you or one that's going to harm you? All right? So we replaced her disc, and she started to just simply engage in activity. So she called her centers of influence. She met with people. I said, I want you to have 8 appointments a week. Okay? With centers of influence, with clients, with new clients, with prospects, but you need more activity. And you need to make at least 5 to 10 phone calls every day to people that will move you forward. So she did it, okay? And so she kept calling this one CPA, and he finally said, okay, it's a busy season, but I have an introduction for you. Anyway, it turned out to be a Venezuelan billionaire, and his daughter was moving to the country, and he was going to give her $20 million to live on while she was there. I know. And so the CPA said, you don't need to sell anything. Just come. You've got the account. Okay, and so we brainstormed as to what value she could create for this CPA and for this woman, daughter, that was coming to the country for the first time. So guess what we did? Can you think of what we should be doing for her?
Wow, I don't know, just get acclimated to the living and being in this country.
Right. So how could she best help her get acclimated?
Introduce her to people.
Right. So what do we have? What do we have that is already built that we could use to help her get introduced? Remember?
Our own network.
Yeah. Remember the enthusiastically endorsed list of professionally trusted advisors that we built with Supernova?
Yeah.
Okay. That's your list. Okay, so we went through and we said, okay, when she gets here, what is she going to need? She's going to need a realtor. She's going to need an architect because she's probably going to want to rebuild part of the apartment. She's going to need a designer. She's going to need housekeeping. She's got the CPA and the attorney and those things. But she's going to need limo service. She's probably going to need, she's going to get $200 million eventually. But then the mother is going to get $200 million. The other sister is going to get $200 million and dad. And so forth. And so we made up this list, and then I said, call your CPA and the attorney and ask their advice on who to use, particularly for the realtor, okay? Because you don't want to step on any toes here. I said, but this will be an amazing, you're going to be her new best friend, and you're going to introduce her to these people personally. You're going to take her around and introduce her, because this is worth it. And she's going to, because you're going to get the billionaire, okay?
Wow.
I said, you're going to get him. You're going to have a billion-dollar client.
Hmm.
All right? And so she's going to do that. All right? She listens now really well. Now, she sent me 3 introductions. She stood up and gave a testimonial where basically she said, I was completely lost. And Rob helped me and found, and I'm basically, I was once lost and now I'm found. And or she did that for the whole office. And with another gal that I helped too.
Wow.
And so what was the benefit to me? Okay, I'm no coach, but you know, taking really thinking through with her what she needs and help, not just coaching Supernova, right? But coaching for her. Okay, which is what you do for your clients. So she has sent me 3 introductions so far. But she is now on a vendetta to get everybody to hire me, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the best thing you can possibly, we're prioritizing our time now, right?
Right.
So what's the very best thing you can do for people?
Just help them.
Right, help them. Find out what their problems are and solve them. Help solve them. Okay, so that's what you need to do on these calls. You know, when I ask you at the beginning what's on your mind, that's an open invitation
yeah.
to tell me. So you want to start every call with the client with that. What's on your mind? So LinkedIn is great, okay? And these other things are wonderful to establish your credibility, but your real, genuine credibility is going to be established by your desire to truly help people.
Mm-hmm.
Without any thought of, you know, how am I going to get help? So you're really out there doing good work.
And I think, yeah, by and large, we are. Because I think this whole process, and even adding Dave on, and I said, where he brings the value is he's really good at, you know, he's really good at on the planning side. And we just go deeper. I mean, because,
well,
you know, now, yeah. the initial meetings are longer. We had a couple meetings last week where we were presenting plans, and it's like, it does take a little bit more time, but we really address personal issues and help people literally walk through some of the things that are stuck at. So.
Well, every family has, seriously, remember this, every single family has the family problem.
Mm.
And when a guy says that he doesn't have one, he may be it.
Yeah,
yeah. When you get up and speak and you tell that, use that. It's really funny. Everybody loves that line. Okay.
What did you say again? You said every family. Every family.
Every family has the family problem. That when the family gets together and talk, they always talk about. They talk about Jim. Uncle Jim, or they talk about whatever. There's somebody that everybody is worried about, right?
Right.
It's the problem, you know, whatever their problem is. And if the guy you're talking to says, no, we don't have one, he may be it.
That's good.
Now, from a planning point of view, if you can get to that problem, you may not be able to ever solve it,
right.
But that would be a huge relief for the whole family if, in fact, you were helpful in that. Because people do not know what to do. They truly don't. You know, especially in some cases they've tried two or three interventions, or they've tried this or they tried that, and it didn't work. So they almost have given up.
Mm-hmm.
So having fresh eyes on a problem can be helpful too. Because they all want it to, they basically want the problem to go away. They'd like to help the person. And they all get mad because it takes up so much time when the family reunion happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when you think about your enthusiastically endorsed list, do you have a person on there that is world class at drug intervention?
Wow, yeah.
I mean, drug is epidemic right now. Opioid epidemic, they call it, right?
Right.
And are we dealing with it? You know, every family is being touched by it somehow.
Yeah.
It's like cancer. You know, don't tell me that. Tell me a family that immune from cancer, and I'll tell you it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So having world-class oncologists and world-class cardiologists and access to those things and specialists in your community so that you're the guy that can get people into those, into see such and such a doctor is that incredible. Think about that compared to what we're talking about, LinkedIn, you know, nice articles.
Yeah.
How about getting the guy in to see the best oncologist for, you know, blood disease in the world, and you can do it. And he's booked.
Mm.
Yeah, then we're not talking about basis points of fees.
You're not talking about basis points of fees, no.
It is
not important. It's not important. So really, truly, think of yourselves as life coaches.
Yeah.
With a subsidiary being financial services.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you do your life planning, I mean, you're not doing financial planning, you're doing life planning, right? So I would really change it. I would even change the term to life planning.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. And it's just, so I think the biggest challenge we have now, not challenge, well, it is a challenge in a way, is just making, you know, getting us out enough.
I will tell you that 1242 gets you to where you need to go.
Yep.
Okay. It gets you into I talk about it being a flower that opens.
Yeah.
It's all closed up. You know, when you call them three times a year, four times a year, the rose is completely closed.
Yeah.
But when you call them 12 times a year, the rose opens up and opens up and opens up, because it isn't 12 times a year, it's 12 times 12 times 12 times 12.
Yeah.
It's 4 years of 12, you know.
Yeah.
And so they finally are opening up and opening up and opening up until they tell you about Uncle Joe. Or,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And what can we do to help it?
Mm-hmm.
But the planning, though, really, though, I mean, it starts that.
The planning is the key.
Yeah.
They don't want to do it. Trust me, after you do it right, they don't want to do it twice.
I think that's why I said to Rick, I mean, the stickiness of it and how in-depth you go, it's very tough to say, hey, you know, they underperformed the benchmark this year, so we're going to go somewhere else once you get that in-depth and you go through, you know, a two-hour meeting to talk about everything that's going on in their family and their lives and their goals and objectives and how they're going to get there and creating that path, and all of a sudden saying, you know, you underperformed the benchmark this year, so now we're going to go and redo that whole process with other people. You know, I look at it almost like a doctor where, you know, you kind of stay with the same doctor because they know your history, they know all about you. If we can see that same relationship driver to say, you know what, it would be so painful to kind of start all over again with a new advisor and kind of go through our history again and redo a financial plan, that it becomes, you know, again, it's a retention, it's a stickiness, but it's also doing the right thing, but it kind of, you know, killing two birds with one stone to some degree.
All right, so two things I want you to do with your 12-4-2s, okay?
Yep.
One is ask the enthusiastically endorsed question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA attorney? But if you know the person has heart disease, ask him if he can enthusiastically endorse his cardiologist.
Yep.
Because you want to find out who are the best, not just the best people by reputation, but the best people by client. You know, the clients say, the patients say, he's the best doctor. Okay, and then the second thing I want you to do is I want you to find the family problem. And I want you to find the family problem for every family that you talk to this week. And every week from then on.
Right.
If you don't know the family problem, you don't know the family.
Mm-hmm. Cool. This is we go deeper.
Well, you know, that one's going to show up in my book.
Really?
I just made that up.
But I do think, you know, as you're saying that, that is probably the ultimate stickiness. If you can help them through that, I mean, you're in for life.
Right. And they don't share that around town.
Right.
They hide it, right?
Yeah.
This is something we hide from our community, but we... Do families really do a good job of handling it? No, because they're so emotionally.
Right.
You know, my brother's got some issues. Seriously. I mean, I know. I mean, we all have. Every family has one, right?
Right.
Yeah. My brother has some serious issues, okay? Every family has the mental illness, whether it's, you know, institutionally, or it's just, you know, a little crazy or pretty, you know, all in the degrees of craziness. Well, my brother is a little, he's self-sustaining. He can live on his own. But he, you know, from time to time, he has drug addiction and alcohol, and he's clean now. One brother thinks he's dangerous and won't even go near him, right? He's never done anything.
Right.
You know, my other brother wants to help, and I want to help. So we've intervened, and we've helped, and he's on a nice path now, and we feel really good.
Right.
But think about it. We're both in the business, and we have the capability. Do most families may act like my older brother, which is completely pretending it isn't there, you know? And therefore, you know, it doesn't get fixed, and the rest of the family feels terrible, and da 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 da.
Yeah.
It's one of those things you go to your grave regretting that you didn't help. And you guys can just deal with it like any other problem because you have no emotional attachment to it.
Yeah.
So you can be a huge help to a family. And just listening, you know, just hearing the problem and knowing it. I mean, maybe you can introduce somebody, maybe you can actually solve it, but most of the time it's just listening and having another set of, you know, it's like you guys. Half the time, I'm not telling you anything. You're just talking and coming up with solutions yourselves.
Yeah.
You know?
But you're just bouncing it off. So that's the key. And it's like, right. Yeah, which is really good. But even today,
so what,
to wrap up, I think you helped clarify this situation of, you know, because we literally just talked about this week we were going to do the Philly Cricket, but I think we could do two events, the Sea Colony Taz, you know, tournament, and do something around that for a smaller group, but then do the Boston group at Philly Cricket, but I'm going to ask them too.
Yeah, which one they'd like to do. We're thinking about doing these two things. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what are the three takeaways from today's call?
Well, obviously every family has the problem in trying to find that out. And that really just solidifies the relationship. The other part, I mean, you know, life planning instead of financial planning. And really, you know, asking about the different, you know, enthusiastically endorsed list. So that's our key. So I guess the other thing is, it's going back to, you know, what you were saying earlier, is the number one thing is just do an amazing job for our clients. And if we incorporate these other things, that's a marketing in itself. I mean, the word will get around.
That's the most powerful thing we've got. Yeah, the most powerful marketing is your word of mouth.
Yeah.
People becoming advocates, and like this girl is just telling everybody, you know, to hire me. So that's when you can quit marketing. I mean, you never quit marketing, but I mean, that's when you, you know, make sure your LinkedIn page looks good, make sure your everything is, when they check you out, it all comes through, but the introductions are what are key.
Well, yep.
Mm-hmm. And some of this, guys, takes, I mean, look, I think I've become a much better coach in the last year.
Why?
Because I'm asking more questions, not teaching. I'm teaching, but I'm asking a lot of good questions, and I'm listening better, and I'm having you guys. And I don't know what it is. I get to what I want to teach, but I think I'm getting to it in a different way.
Yeah. Well, that's the cool part. You're learning. You continue to learn too.
Oh, I've learned so much this year. It's unbelievable. I mean, this breakthrough with this gal, that was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
You know, all I did was teach her how I trained things as an FA. All I said was this. All I said, I'll share this with you, and then I will go. What I did was I simply said to her, look, you know, it was never easy for me. Never easy for anybody, but I just made up my mind that if I didn't get those clients, then they would go to somebody horrible, like Bernie Madoff or somebody.
Yeah.
So I literally made up my mind that it didn't matter if they didn't want to hire me or whatever, but my job was to save the world from horrible, evil people.
That's good.
You see? And if I wasn't on the phone, I wasn't helping people. I wasn't saving them.
Huh.
And so that's all she did, was kind of frame it that way, and I think it helped. Because, I mean, look at American Greed every day, right? Every day there's a new scam. It's somebody horrible taking their money.
Yeah.
So.
True.
Yeah. So that's your mission. Get out
there. I love it.
Pick up the phone.
We're doing it, Rob. We're gonna keep moving.
Oh, you guys are crushing it. It's just a question of, you know, how soon will you get to the, you know, the 50 billion to the 100 billion to the...
I love it.
You know, it's
good.
Okay.
All right.
Have fun,
guys.
Have
a good week, Robin. Thanks for all the good stuff today.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.